Supreme Court of the United States, Hamdi v. Rumsfeld, June 28, 2004. Justice O'Connor announced the judgment of the court and delivered an opinion in which the Chief Justice, Justice Kennedy, and Justice Breyer join. At this difficult time in our nation's history, we are called upon to consider the legality of the government's detention of a United States citizen on United States soil as an enemy combatant, and to address the process that is constitutionally owed to one who seeks to challenge his classification as such. The United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit held that petitioner's detention was legally authorized and that he was entitled to no further opportunity to challenge his enemy combatant label. We now vacate and remand. We hold that although Congress authorized the detention of combatants in the narrow circumstances alleged here, due process demands that a citizen held in the United States as an enemy combatant be given a meaningful opportunity to contest the factual basis for that detention before a neutral decision maker. Part 1. On September 11, 2001, the Al-Qaeda terrorist network used hijacked commercial airliners to attack prominent targets in the United States. Approximately 3,000 people were killed in those attacks. 1 week later, in response to these acts of treacherous violence, Congress passed a resolution authorizing the President to use all necessary and appropriate force against those nations, organizations, or persons he determines planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks, or harbored such organizations or persons, in order to prevent any future acts of international terrorism against the United States by such nations, organizations, or persons. The Authorization for Use of Military Force, called the AUMF. Soon thereafter, the President ordered United States Armed Forces to Afghanistan with a mission to subdue Al-Qaeda and to quell the Taliban regime that was known to support it. This case arises out of the detention of a man whom the government alleges took up arms with the Taliban during this conflict. His name is Yasser Esam Hamdi. Born an American citizen in Louisiana in 1980, Hamdi moved with his family to Saudi Arabia as a child. By 2001, the parties agree he resided in Afghanistan. At some point that year, he was seized by members of the Northern Alliance, a coalition of military groups opposed to the Taliban government, and eventually was turned over to the United States military. The government asserts that it initially detained and interrogated Hamdi in Afghanistan before transferring him to the United States Naval Base in Guantanamo Bay in January 2002. In April 2002, upon learning that Hamdi is an American citizen, authorities transferred him to a naval brig in Norfolk, Virginia, where he remained until a recent transfer to a brig in Charleston, South Carolina. The government contends that Hamdi is an enemy combatant and that this status justifies holding him in the United States indefinitely, without formal charges or proceedings, unless and until it makes the determination that access to counsel or further process is warranted. In June 2002, Hamdi's father, Esam Fuad Hamdi, filed the present petition for a writ of habeas corpus under 28 U.S.C. 2241 in the Eastern District of Virginia, naming as petitioners his son and himself as next friend. The elder Hamdi alleges in the petition that he has had no contact with his son since the government took custody of him in 2001, and that the government has held his son without access to legal counsel or notice of any charges pending against him. The petition contends that Hamdi's detention was not legally authorized. It argues that, as an American citizen, Hamdi enjoys the full protections of the Constitution, and that Hamdi's detention in the United States without charges, access to an impartial tribunal, or assistance of counsel, violated and continues to violate the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments to the United States Constitution. The habeas petition asks that the court, among other things, 1. Appoint counsel for Hamdi. 2. Order respondents to cease interrogating him. 3. Declare that he is being held in violation of the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments. 4. To the extent respondents contest any material factual allegations in this petition, schedule an evidentiary hearing at which petitioners may adduce proof in support of their allegations, and 5, order that Hamdi be released from his unlawful custody. Although his habeas petition provides no details with regard to the factual circumstances surrounding his son's capture and detention, Hamdi's father has asserted in documents found elsewhere in the record that his son went to Afghanistan to do relief work and that he had been in that country less than 2 months before September 11, 2001 and could not have received military training. The 20-year-old was traveling on his own for the first time, his father says, and because of his lack of experience, he was trapped in Afghanistan once that military campaign began. The district court found that Hamdi's father was a proper next friend, appointed the federal public defender as counsel for the petitioners, and ordered that counsel be given access to Hamdi. The United States Court of Appeals for the Fourth Circuit reversed that order, holding that the district court had failed to extend appropriate deference to the government's security and intelligence interests. It directed the district court to consider the most cautious procedures first and to conduct a deferential inquiry into Hamdi's status. It opined that if Hamdi is indeed an enemy combatant who was captured during hostilities in Afghanistan, the government's present detention of him is a lawful one. On remand, the government filed a response and a motion to dismiss the petition. It attached to its response a declaration from one Michael Mobbs, who identified himself as a special advisor to the Undersecretary of Defense for Policy. Mobbs indicated that in this position, he has been substantially involved with matters related to the detention of enemy combatants in the current war against the Al-Qaeda terrorists and those who support and harbor them, including the Taliban. He expressed his familiarity with the Department of Defense and United States military policies and procedures applicable to the detention, control, and transfer of Al-Qaeda and Taliban personnel, and declared that, based upon my review of the relevant records and reports, I am also familiar with the facts and circumstances related to the capture of Hamdi and his detention by U.S. military forces. Mobbs then set forth what remains the sole evidentiary support that the government has provided to the courts for Hamdi's detention. The declaration states that Hamdi traveled to Afghanistan in July or August 2001, and that he thereafter affiliated with a Taliban military unit and received weapons training. It asserts that Hamdi remained with his Taliban unit following the attacks of September 11th, and that during the time when Northern Alliance forces were engaged in a battle with the Taliban, Hamdi's Taliban unit surrendered to those forces, after which he surrendered his Kalashnikov assault rifle to them. The Mobbs declaration also states that because Al-Qaeda and the Taliban were and are hostile forces engaged in armed conflict with the armed forces of the United States, individuals associated with those groups were and continue to be enemy combatants. Mobbs states that Hamdi was labeled an enemy combatant based upon his interviews and in light of his association with the Taliban. According to the declaration, a series of U.S. military screening teams determined that Hamdi met the criteria for enemy combatants, and a subsequent interview of Hamdi has confirmed that he surrendered and gave his firearm to Northern Alliance forces, which supports his classification as an enemy combatant. After the government submitted this declaration, the Fourth Circuit directed the district court to proceed in accordance with its earlier ruling and, specifically, to consider the sufficiency of the Mobbs declaration as an independent matter before proceeding further. The district court found that the Mobbs declaration fell far short of supporting Hamdi's detention. It criticized the generic and hearsay nature of the affidavit, calling it little more than the government's say-so. It ordered the government to turn over numerous materials for in-camera review, including copies of all of Hamdi's statements and the notes taken from interviews with him that related to his reasons for going to Afghanistan and his activities therein, a list of all interrogators who had questioned Hamdi and their names and addresses, statements by members of the Northern Alliance regarding Hamdi's surrender and capture, a list of the dates and locations of his capture and subsequent detentions, and the names and titles of the United States government officials who made the determinations that Hamdi was an enemy combatant and that he should be moved to a naval brig. The court indicated that all of these materials were necessary for a meaningful judicial review of whether Hamdi's detention was legally authorized and whether Hamdi had received sufficient process to satisfy the due process clause of the Constitution and relevant treaties or military regulations. The government sought to appeal the production order, and the district court certified the question of whether the mob's declaration standing alone is sufficient as a matter of law to allow meaningful judicial review of Hamdi's classification as an enemy combatant. The Fourth Circuit reversed, but did not squarely answer the certified question. It instead stressed that because it was undisputed that Hamdi was captured in a zone of active combat in a foreign theater of conflict, no factual inquiry or evidentiary hearing allowing Hamdi to be heard or to rebut the government's assertions was necessary or proper. Concluding that the factual averments in the mob's declaration, if accurate, provided a sufficient basis upon which to conclude that the president had constitutionally detained Hamdi pursuant to the president's war powers, it ordered the habeas petition dismissed. The Fourth Circuit emphasized that the vital purposes of the detention of uncharged enemy combatants, preventing those combatants from rejoining the enemy while relieving the military of the burden of litigating the circumstances of wartime captures halfway around the globe, were interests directly derived from the war powers of Articles 1 and 2. In that court's view, because Article 3 contains nothing analogous to the specific powers of war so carefully enumerated in Articles 1 and 2, separation of powers principles prohibited a federal court from delving further into Hamdi's status and capture. Accordingly, the district court's more vigorous inquiry went far beyond the acceptable scope of review. On the more global question of whether legal authorization exists for the detention of enemy combatants at all, the Fourth Circuit rejected Hamdi's arguments that 18 U.S.C. Section 4001A and Article 5 of the Geneva Convention rendered any such detentions unlawful. The court expressed doubt as to Hamdi's argument that Section 4001A, which provides that no citizen shall be imprisoned or otherwise detained by the United States except pursuant to an act of Congress, required express congressional authorization of detentions of this sort. But it held that in any event, such authorization was found in the post-September 11th authorization for use of military force. Because capturing and detaining enemy combatants is an inherent part of warfare, the court held, the necessary and appropriate force referenced in the congressional resolution necessarily includes the capture and detention of any and all hostile forces arrayed against our troops. It also noted that Congress in 10 U.S.C. Section 956 parens 5 had specifically authorized the expenditure of funds for keeping prisoners of war and persons whose status was determined to be similar to prisoners of war, and concluding that this appropriation measure also demonstrated that Congress had authorized these individuals' detention in the first instance. The court likewise rejected Hamdi's Geneva Convention claim, concluding that the convention was not self-executing, and that even if it were, it would not preclude the executive from detaining Hamdi until the cessation of hostilities. Finally, the Fourth Circuit rejected Hamdi's contention that its legal analyses with regard to the authorization for the detention scheme and the process to which he was constitutionally entitled should be altered by the fact that he is an American citizen detained on American soil. Relying on ex parte curiam, the court emphasized that one who takes up arms against the United States in a foreign theater of war, regardless of his citizenship, may properly be designated an enemy combatant and treated as such. The privilege of citizenship, the court held, entitles Hamdi to a limited judicial inquiry into his detention, but only to determine its legality under the war powers of the political branches. At least where it is undisputed that he was present in a zone of active combat operations, we are satisfied that the Constitution does not entitle him to a searching review of the factual determinations underlying his seizure there. The Fourth District denied rehearing en banc, and we granted certiorari. We now vacate the judgment below and remand.